Good evening. Can you hear me on the microphone?
Almost.
I'll speak up a bit. Tonight we're going to talk about Nathaniel. I thought to start us off, can anyone tell me anything about Nathaniel? Anybody know anything about Nathaniel?
He was under a fig tree.
He was, yes. Anybody else?
He was.
Yeah, he's not one of Jesus' better-known disciples, I don't think. But yes, he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and he was amongst the first of the disciples to be called. And I think he's the last that we're covering in the series of talks that we're that we're doing here. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together to meet and discuss your holy word and to explore the lives of the disciples. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Okay, the general idea I had for the talk this evening was first we'll talk about some scriptural references to Sir Bartholomew. There's not that many. And then we'll talk about his name, which is quite important. Then we'll talk about his calling. And then we'll have a look into what that says to us in terms of following Jesus in our lives. As I said, Nathaniel was called early on in Jesus' ministry at about the same time as Jesus' other disciples. And when we hear of Nathaniel, he's always associated with with Philip. There's not a great deal written about him in the scriptures. In fact, there's only about 6 direct references to him in total. But there's a surprising amount we can find out about him. A good starting point is Nathaniel's calling, which is in John chapter 1. Verses 43 to 51. And this can be found on page 1064 of the Pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow it. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Thanks be to God. Amen. Nathanael's also mentioned later on in the book of John in chapter 21, and we talked about this morning Ruth talked about it in her talk, and it's when Nathanael was present at the miraculous catch of fish, which is after Jesus' resurrection. The other 4 references are just in the list of the disciples. One was in the Gospel of Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, and there's another list in the book of Acts. Now, his name, as you can see, Nathanael is only mentioned twice as Nathanael, which is in the book of John in the New Testament, and the other 4 times he's listed as Bartholomew. So how can we be sure we're talking about the same person? As we said at the beginning, Nathanael was a close friend of Philip, and either as Bartholomew or Nathanael, he is always mentioned alongside Philip. So generally it's believed that Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same person. This isn't a contradiction at all, as it might seem. It's simply that his first name and his surname are used to refer to him, Nathanael is, of course, his first name, and means gift of God. Bartholomew is a Hebrew surname, which is Bartolmai, which means the son of Tolmai or a plowman. And it's a bit like naming somebody after their profession, as you have today, a name like barber or cartwright or mason. So any surname like that. So that's his surname. So we meet Nathanael Bartolmai or Nathanael Bartholomew. The Philip's first words to Nathanael were, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law." Philip was telling Nathanael about Jesus as somebody who knew all about Old Testament prophecy. So it's likely they were both experts in the scripture. Nathanael was a native of Cana in Galilee, which is the place of Jesus' first miracle. Cana and Nazareth were 11 miles apart, and they were rival towns. Nazareth had a poor reputation and was at disadvantage. So it was in Jesus' interest to have somebody from the rival town to endorse him. Nathanael's first response when Philip told him about Jesus was, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Now, there can be lots of friendly or less friendly rivalry and prejudice between towns, between cities, between football teams, and so on. And it can be quite tongue-in-cheek, but it can also be quite ugly. Nathanael showed this sort of prejudice towards Jesus' hometown. He just couldn't believe that the Messiah could come from such an insignificant place as Nazareth. Nazareth wasn't famous for anything. It was an ordinary little town in Galilee. And the people of Nazareth are, in fact, most remembered today for trying to throw Jesus off a cliff. And that's in Luke chapter 4. Philip dealt with Nathanael's prejudice by saying, "Come and see." He confronted his prejudice face on. He presented him with the facts. And it's a good way to deal with prejudice if you confront it objectively face on. Unfortunately, Nathanael's prejudice wasn't as strong as his calling to follow Jesus. Now, when Nathanael met Jesus, he asked, first of all, "How do you know me?" Nathanael was the only apostle to hesitate when he was called by Jesus. Even though Jesus never met Nathanael, Jesus, through his divine knowledge, knew all about him. He knew that Nathanael was not a hypocrite, like some of the other Jewish leaders at that time, but he was a devout and sincere Israelite. In Jesus' words, he was a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Nathanael was amazed that Jesus knew about him, and he was even more amazed that Jesus knew he'd been sitting under a fig tree before Philip had called him. The fig tree was probably the place where Nathanael went to study and meditate on scriptures. In those days, houses were small, sort of single-room, quite uncomfortable places to be filled with smoke, and probably not the most comfortable place for sitting and reading your scriptures and studying them with other people. So they'd plant trees outside their houses, and fig trees, because they gave good shade and fruit and so on, were a good idea for something to plant. So it's probable that's where Nathanael went to study his scripture and to pray. Jesus had not only been able to tell Nathanael where he'd been sitting, but he was also able to see right into his heart. And as a result, Nathanael believed, and he confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Nathanael recognized Jesus immediately as Messiah, and in this respect, he was like Simeon. And his story can be found in Luke chapter 2. Simeon was an old man and spent his entire life waiting for the Messiah. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the promised Messiah. Now, Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby, and Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms, and he recognized him instantly as the one he'd been waiting for. Simeon responded to Jesus in praise with these words, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel." In a similar way, as Nathanael recognized Jesus, Jesus affirmed Nathanael's faith, and he promised that he would see even greater things. Most of the disciples had struggled to get to the place where Nathanael stood after his first meeting with Christ. Despite his earlier hesitation, Jesus' ministry only confirmed to him what he already knew in his heart to be true. Now, it's interesting with a passage like this where you don't have very much to see about Nathanael. Let's look at the passages before and after. And the passages before this one in John chapter 1 talk about the calling of the other disciples earlier on in the book. So we build up a picture of all the different individuals that Jesus called. Now, the following passage in John chapter 2 is when Jesus turns water into wine at a wedding in Cana. And this is his first recorded miracle. Jesus and his mother and the disciples were attending a wedding at Cana, and during the wedding celebrations, the host ran out of wine. So Jesus told the servants to fill 6 stone jars with water. He told them to draw some water out for the master of the banquet. The servants did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the drink and found it to be wine. It's interesting how this miracle follows Nathanael and the other disciples' calling, and I think it puts their individual stories into a bigger picture. And a lot of these parables, you can see them as being symbolic. And the changing of the water into wine shows us the change that Jesus made to the world by coming into the world. People have been living under the old laws and the legalism of Judaism. And this first miracle of Jesus symbolized the changing of the water, or the old ways, into the new ways of Christ. Jesus is, if you will, the bridegroom for a new Israel. And as such, he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. So to sum up, the calling of Nathanael and Jesus' affirmation of him made me think a little of that of the story in Les Miserables. And there's that point where where Jean Valjean has been released from the ship. He spent 19 years in the galleys, and he's escaped on parole. And he's a bit desperate, and he's taken by the local priest and put up for the night. And during the night, he escapes and makes off with the silverware. And the police find him and bring him back and bring him to the priest to accuse of the crime. And the priest, instead of accusing him, says to him, "No, no, I gave you that silverware, and here, take these candlesticks as well, which you forgot." And this act of forgiveness that the priest showed to Jean Valjean in his life changed his life around and completely transformed it. And I think it's something similar in our lives with meeting Jesus, that that Jesus can turn our lives around too, and his forgiveness can change us. It also makes me think of that function that you get on electronic gadgets. You know, the restore factory defaults setting button. And if you've got a mobile phone and it's got corrupted and doesn't work properly, or somebody set it into Cyrillic and you can't read it, or you've got a load of old radio stations that that don't work anymore, and you can press the restore defaults button and it makes it work again. It makes it work as new as it was intended to. And I think that's another way. That's another way that meeting Jesus can work. I mean, life can get a bit like that. The pressures of work and pressures of school, pressures of success and failure and so on, they can wear us down. And meeting Jesus washes all of that away. And it's like pressing the reset button. And I think, just finally, the passage that we read from John chapter 1 says something to us about our faith and how we receive Jesus' call into our lives. I mean, we might not all receive a white light or a road to Damascus moment of conversion. The changes that come on us could be gradual and incremental. And we might not be in the same starting point of faith as Nathanael was when he was called. But for all of us, having a personal encounter with Jesus will transform us, and it'll change our lives, and people will notice the difference. I thought we might end by discussing Nathanael a little amongst ourselves, and I'll come up with a few questions. But I thought, should we just pray first? Heavenly Father, thank you for the disciples and for giving us the stories of their lives through the Bible. We thank you for how they still inspire and teach and speak to us 2,000 years after they spoke with Jesus. In Jesus' name, we offer you our prayers. Amen. What I thought we might talk about was if we think about Nathanael and his calling by Jesus, and how we might recognize aspects of that in ourselves. Maybe think about times when we've perhaps hesitated when we've sensed his call, and times when we've recognized and responded to him as well. Thank you. Oh, sorry, just in twos or threes, just... talk about Nathanael and how you might recognize his calling in yourself, and you feel you've when you've responded to Jesus. And maybe think about times when perhaps you've hesitated when you think you've heard that, and times when you've responded as well.
How long have we got?
As long as you like. 5 minutes.